What's going on, folks, and welcome to a special edition of the Nuclear Golf Podcast. This is our fifth episode doing this now. We've been having some fun and having multiple episodes this week for Masters Week. My name is John. I'm the co-owner of Nuclear Golf and TW Legion, and I'm joined tonight by Tim Bowman, Hutch Bennett, Courtney Spitz. We're going to have a couple of guests join us throughout the show as well tonight just to chat about the Masters. Before we get into it, today's show is sponsored by Blue Chew. Better sex is just a few clicks away. Visit bluechew.com today to learn more. And big thanks to Blue Chew for sponsoring today's episode. All right, well, it's Masters Week, and I mean, the action's been pretty sweet the last couple days. You guys had a chance to watch the first 2 days?
100%. Been locked in.
All of it at work, yep. Yeah, it's been a little off in his time.
He's up there. Tim's having to watch him like early in the morning. It's probably over by the time you get off work, right, Tim?
No, I still get to see the last four or five holes of the last four or five groups, but I mean, I'm up at 4:30, so it's watching it all throughout the day. I'm like off and on, so
some old man hours.
Yeah,
Courtney, what you thinking? Welcome back, by the way, Courtney.
Appreciate it. Good to be back. A little break in the action, but missed it. Had to get back as quick as I could. Hey, second half of today was amazing to watch. Some of those shots, some of those guys were hitting. Rory had some trouble off the tee, some recovery shots there. JT had a nice one. I think it's been a great start to the Masters. I'm pumped. The leaderboard is stacked with big names that I want to see if Bryson can play well. I think Rory can play well, obviously. If those guys rattle off, you know, four or five birdies in their opening nine tomorrow, but then there's some wild cards out there too. So good start for the Masters. I'm not sure, you know, what the viewership is going to take a jump to. The weekend's always better, but we're in store for a good one, I think.
The leaderboard's amazing. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of awesome golfers right up there within four or five shots of the lead, and if not closer. I mean, it was a heck of a comeback today by Rory. I got to give him props for that because I was trashing him last night after those two doubles pretty good.
What I tell you, but he was going to shoot today, Tim.
66, man, right on the button, like nothing, like he was out there scripting it.
Nailed it.
He played awesome today, so I was super happy for him because he could have easily come out and shot another 72 today after what happened, you know, on 15 yesterday.
You made a statement like me yesterday. You said he's done.
Yeah.
I'm the king of early calls, but you called that way early.
I'm just trying way to get early on your guys' pages.
Why was he done with an opening even, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was more about the momentum was gone.
It's hard to come back from, not impossible, but it's definitely not good momentum when you are playing flawless golf and go double-double down the stretch.
Yeah, but there's too much blow-up at Augusta for, you know, I feel like anybody who gets out to a quick lead, you know, Rose was out to, what, 7 or 8, and there wasn't really too many guys behind him, but he didn't run away with that, and we always see guys come back. So, I mean, I just feel like if you're right around those red numbers, you know, it's you're not out of it.
There was just a stat that like only one guy in the last 40 years or something has won the Masters with more than one double or two doubles. I mean,
that's not to say he's definitely going to win, but yeah, he's right back. So this is really like what you guys were saying earlier. The leaderboard is everything that we talked about the other night. It's everything that the Masters wanted. It's just stacked with huge names.
I'm so happy Bryson's up there.
Me too.
Yeah. Bryson's leading Justin Rose is leading the tournament right now. Obviously, he's at 8 under par. DeChambeau's at 7 under, and then Rory's at 6 under. I mean, just going back to yesterday during the first round, Rory's standing on the 15th tee box. He's 4 under for his round. Mm-hmm. Gets to 15. Chips it into the water, makes double there, makes a 7 on 15. gets to 17, makes a double there. So he had two doubles in three holes. I mean, back to even par, and it's complete doom and gloom online for Rory McIlroy. I mean, essentially the narrative last night was, you know, Rory McIlroy shot himself in the foot and he's out of the tournament.
And they weren't wrong.
For sure. I mean, it's all too familiar, right, for Rory at Augusta. I mean, yeah, chipping and putting. Like, it's never been, you know, necessarily the irons or the driving that's been the issue. And then fast forward to today, he comes out, he shoots 6 under, 66. He's right back up there at the top. It was propelled by his eagle at the 13th hole today.
Dude, that second shot was unreal.
What did you think of that shot?
Oh, my God.
The one from the pines?
Oh, dude, the way he got it to stop like that. Stop
I don't think it. I don't think people understand not just distance control, but ball striking from stuff like that. And I'm not saying I understand it either. I could hit that shot 100 times and I'm not hitting the green. But that's
yeah, me neither.
That's gotta be so difficult, and you have to be so precise. It's an amazing shot.
Yeah, no, it's unreal shot there by Rory. And then, you know, he finished his round strong today, right? He didn't have any late hiccups coming home. I think that's kind of the key thing. And he said after his round today, the narrative last night was he didn't want the narrative today and going through the weekend to be that he's not able to get it done. He essentially said after his round that he proved to himself that he can continue to keep pushing and stay in contention. And I think, you know, today's a big step in the right direction for him as we head into the weekend.
The biggest thing, John, was like, and it seems small, but it's very big for him, is that he made like a 3.5-4 footer for par on 18.
Yeah.
Like, he left that putt pretty short and he made that, he was able to bury it. So that was huge. Cause I feel like, as we saw a couple times last year, he might've let that one slide by in the past.
Yeah, for sure. And he shot 31 on the back today. 3 birdies and the eagle, and 66 is pretty good at Augusta. So obviously the other storyline is, Justin Rose, who's leading the tournament. He had he shot 65 yesterday, I believe it was, right? 65 on Thursday and a 71 today. He's up there leading at 8 under. This guy just performs in the major championships.
Like, always.
You go back to, I think, last year as well, he was right up there at 2 of the majors last year. And he's a big game player for sure. It'll be interesting to see how Rose performs on the weekend. I mean, he's perfectly capable of getting it done. He's already proven that many times. And as an older guy, to be out there performing like that with the best of the young guys is quite a big achievement as well. Just going to pull up the leaderboard real quick here. We've got the full leaderboard. Rose at 8 under, DeChambeau at 7 under. You know, DeChambeau was the last guy on the range last night. He said post round that he had some things to work on. He was heading to the range. And then he said after his round today, he shot 3 under yesterday and 4 under today, I believe. He said after today's round that he wasn't going to be on the range because he had figured something out. So it feels like Bryson DeChambeau has it together right now. He's got the game. Yep. You know, he's really in form, it seems like. And right from the beginning of this week, from his press conference at the start of the week, it seemed like he had a really calm demeanor about him when he was in the press room. I noticed it right away, and I said to myself, like, I wouldn't be surprised. I even said on our last episode, I picked it was either going to be Rory or it was going to be Bryson. And I mean, both of those guys are right up there at 2 and 3. So, I mean, I won't be surprised if either of them get it done, obviously, right?
Yeah, that's huge. And I think one thing we forgot to say on Rory, the 66, I believe that was the lowest round of the day. Amongst anybody. So.
Yeah.
So just a huge day for him. But you're right, John. It's huge for Bryson to be up there. Huge. It's big for the tour too.
Yes. That's a big component of it. It makes me laugh that he shot an opening 3 under at Augusta and felt like he had to go fix some flaws in his swing.
Yeah. He was still out there at like 8 o'clock last night, right?
Yeah. Last guy out there.
But it's just wow. it goes back to his personality and his data driven, and you know, he's just so nerd central about everything, and it's a great thing. I love watching it. At first, I was so put off by it with all the readings and the things and the slow play of the putting, but I've grown to love to watch him play, and I admire his work ethic. I think that guy works so hard to get everything right. I'm sure all of them do, but we're kind of seeing Bryson come out with, you know, the YouTube stuff and seeing a lot more personality the last couple of years. So it's been fun.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Actually, just talking about the range, Scottie Scheffler was the last man on the range tonight. PGA Tour posted a tweet.
He's kind of all over the place off the tee.
Mm-hmm.
Today. So yeah, I fully believe that, but he, even being that way, he's right there. I mean, that's just a testament to how good he is, I guess, but he's three back.
It's funny what working hard does. Cause I think on Monday or Tuesday, Max Homa was the guy hit the second most golf balls behind Bryson. And look, he's at even par. I mean, he was like minus 130 to miss the cut. Like everybody was predicting him to play terrible. But when you, even if you're playing terrible or you're going through a bad spot, when you start working and you start putting the time in, you start playing better. I mean, you just do. And look at him, credit to him too. He came back today with what, 200? He's even right there in the mix. So guys that hit a lot of balls and put the work in usually play good. Usually.
Moving day on Saturday is going to be, I mean, it's going to be so interesting to watch who goes where, if anybody comes back or anybody runs away. But did you see Scotty's shots today? Do you see much of his round? I've never seen a guy. Well, I feel like he comes out of every shot. Like his footing is all over the place sometimes.
Okay, that's his thing.
I know. It's amazing to see. It's like, oh, he slipped, and then he sticks it 2 feet. You know, it's just – I've never seen a golfer be – I don't want to say all over the place because he's not. He's dialed in. But most of those guys are not – their feet don't move that much. And I just – I don't know why it caught my attention so much today watching this round. But, it's crazy to see him not play good and still be up there.
Did you guys see him back in jail there on 18? He was in jail.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He was sitting under the tree.
Perfect. Yep. Scotty in jail reference.
Yep. We went there.
He should get arrested again tonight just for the fun of it.
Also,
she should go pee in Ray's Creek.
Just before we move on to a variety of other topics here about the tournament this week, Justin Rose is currently leading. In 2024, he had a T2 at the Open, and he had a T6 at the PGA. And then he missed the cut at the Masters, and he missed the cut at the US Open. So, I mean, he's proven that he can get it done, right? So,
yeah, I think they said this was the 10th round that he's led at the Masters in his career. So, I mean, he's definitely been in this position before too. So we'll see what happens. I feel like it's weird because he's in first, but I feel like of all the guys that we talk, he's the least exciting of every chance that we've got to win. Every person who has a chance to win, like we're not even really talking about him at all. And he's been playing the best so far, but maybe that's just partly because today he was early, right? So he was done pretty quick, but done before really heated up with Scotty and Rory kind of stole headlines this afternoon. But he's winning and we're barely talking about him, right? Like he's the least sexy option. He's the least exciting of the guys with a shot.
The other thing too is it's his track record. He's probably gonna shoot 74 tomorrow and not be in the lead because that's just what he's done when holding the lead at the Masters. So it's like he gets out to hot starts on Thursday and Friday, and then he cools off when the greens bake out.
Saying he's this generation's Charlie Hoffman?
I'm saying he's done and not going to win.
Oh. Bold take. He's going to shoot 65 tomorrow.
If anybody shoots 65 tomorrow, that will be the round of all rounds.
No, but you're not wrong. Like he had the big round yesterday, right? He was only 100 today, right?
Yeah.
Like I'm looking more at guys who kind of spread it out, like you're saying, Scotty with the or Bryson with the 4 and the 3 under, like guys who are seemingly kind of consistently playing pretty good, like not one big spike round. Which I mean, obviously the spike round helps, and he kind of was able to play kind of steady today, but it was a little more calm this morning too out there. So I felt like the opportunity, I guess, maybe was to go lower this morning. I don't know if they got rain there last night. Do you?
A little bit is what I heard.
Just a little bit. Yeah.
It was here.
Rain does not matter in Augusta. They suck those greens with that.
I know, but it can help subtly, I guess, first thing in the morning too. Like we got hammered here with rain. I mean, granted, we're like 3 hours north, but I figure it was moving that way.
Weatherman Mike said they got some rain.
Yeah, it was a quarter inch. I was on the golf channel this morning at like 4:30. I think it was.
Did you guys see viewership was down? Viewership was down 28% in yesterday's first round compared to last year. 2.3 million viewers on ESPN compared to 3.2 million last year. I mean, we posted about it tonight when those ratings came out and asked people if they thought it was. Is it because of Tiger not playing, or is it because the quality of the broadcast and the broadcast window itself is not very good? I mean, the live coverage only begins at like 3 p.m., right? So just imagine if that coverage was on for the entirety of the day. I mean, your average viewership would be a lot better probably, right?
Well, your viewership is...
It's an exclusivity your viewership is thing, coming right,
from
Courtney?
ESPN. Yeah, your viewership is coming from ESPN, right? So, I mean, most people are not watching ESPN in the middle of a Thursday morning, Friday morning workday. I mean, did you guys watch the coverage from ESPN today? I did not. I was on the mask.
When I was watching, and I think that's part of it too, is it's a conglomeration, I guess, of reasons, right? Like, obviously, the ESPN thing, Tiger's not there. Then two, you got to consider like just the various different ways that we're able to watch it.
Yes.
Right. Like we're watching it on the app. I never switched from the app today.
Me neither.
I
didn't switch
from the app at all. And I have YouTube TV where I could have switched over and watched, you know, YouTube TV, ESPN on my phone just as easily, but I was already on the app. So why did I need to change it? Yeah. Right. Like, so I would be very curious. And I know Augusta probably won't release, you know, how many people viewed it on the app, but that number is probably what Liv claims that they get on their app.
out of curiosity on the app at a certain point you can watch the broadcast coverage.
You can just watch the broadcast.
Does that count? Yeah. Does that count as watching ESPN or no?
No.
No. See, so that's what I mean. I don't ever watch the broadcast coverage anymore since the app came out. I'd rather mirror the app to my TV and watch like, you know, all the cool holes like
tomorrow, but I'm watching CBS coverage on CBS on Sunday. Like, I want the full Jim Nance. I want the whole experience. I want it all.
We'll be on that. I'll be on the app tomorrow. We got a baseball game at 1 p.m. So I'll just be streaming it in the dugout, acting like I'm paying attention.
Coaching, like you care about baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Interesting tweet today from Lil Wayne of all guys. He actually he took to X. He complained about the broadcast. He said the Masters blew it with this lack of coverage on Bryson. They got to stop hating on live shit. This man is killing it, and I can't watch.
Dude, you can watch all. You could damn darn near watch all of his freaking. I mean,
the comments. The comments from our live viewers on this episode are saying the same thing. Bryson getting zero coverage.
I mean, you can watch holes 4, 5, and 6, 11, 12, and 13, 15, and 16, and then you can switch it over to the broadcast and watch it on the broadcast. Like, just because he's not a featured guy, he's still got a lot of coverage. But
no, I will say he should have been a featured group.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
But mean, on the main coverage, like, did it feel like to you guys like we weren't really seeing as much of Bryson as compared to some of the other guys like Rory, or did you find it was pretty balanced?
I felt like I watched the featured groups on the Masters website, and the only thing I saw was Rory, Scotty, Batia.
There's a lot of Justin Thomas in there.
JT was in there. Yep.
A lot of Spieth.
I didn't see I caught it at a different time. I didn't see Spieth. I didn't see any of Spieth, and I didn't see much of Bryson. So I mean, that's featured group coverage. So had I been switching back and forth, maybe I would have seen more Bryson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I thought you were saying that the main feed felt like featured group coverage. Yeah, you know, you're right. Because you're right. You're right.
But I agree with Hutch. Why is Bryson not featured?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's arguably the most recognizable face in golf right now. I mean, of active players between his YouTube following. And as we talked about on a couple episodes ago, our last episode, he's probably the biggest name right now in golf. He should have been featured. But nobody's going to get that Tiger treatment where they're featured no matter what.
That's because nobody is a Tiger or will
ever. Yeah.
Shut your mouth, Bubba.
Yeah, there was an interesting tweet from Lou Stagner on X today. He said, "The Masters needs more TV coverage and a bigger field. Yeah, the app is great, but I want US Open and the Open style TV coverage that goes from the crack of dawn until dark. I just want to inject it straight into my veins all day. Yeah. I also want a full field. I do not like a small field for a major, especially a field with a bunch of past champs and AMs that basically have zero chance of winning." So the Golf Stat Pro made his opinion known there.
At the same time, it's the Masters, and they can do whatever they want.
Yep.
And that's why he feels the way he feels, because he's deprived coverage because the Masters can do it. And when they do that, it'll make you want more. It's like back in the day, you know, 20, 30 years ago, you only got holes 9 through 18. And people just wanted more and more and more, injected into my veins. Like, we heard that all the time then. But the coverage the Masters has now, it's crazy compared to what it was years and years ago. So like, I'm cool. They got all these other apps this app we can use. Cause back then it was like, you had to wait till it came on 13. That was it. You got 9 holes, buddy. 10 holes. And a couple highlights from the early holes, cause they weren't allowed to show them.
All right, guys. Yesterday, one of the biggest moments of the day, amateur Jose Luis took a piss in Reyes Creek. So, I mean, this was one of the moments of the day. I mean, I got to say, it was this wasn't actually really going to be a story, I don't believe, because nobody really has phones at Augusta, right? So, the broadcast isn't going to show it. You're not going to see a fan showing this. The way that we found out about this was Jack Milko, who's a reporter for SB Nation, and Bob Herrig happened to see this happening while they were in the grandstands looking over one of the tee boxes. So I think they were positioned near 12, looking out towards 13. So they were on the green on 13. Yeah. I think he's playing with JT, right? JT was dealing with something on the green. Needed like a ruling or something like that. And Jose Luis walked backwards, like 50 yards back towards Reyes Creek. And I guess just needed to go. So he went. And they asked him about it post round. And he was like, yeah, I'd do it again.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
I thought that comment, the whole I'd do it again, shocked me. I totally expected him to say, hey, man, listen, I was in a bad spot. It is what it is. I had to take care of some business. But he was so nonchalant about it. Yeah, I did that. I mean, I'd do it again. So, I think we all just look at Masters as the pinnacle of golf. And that's where the pinnacle of etiquette comes into play too. And there's just so much tradition, and that's never been done. So, not mad at him, but a bit of a sore,
It's never been done that we know of, right? Like,
Yeah.
Bro, there ain't nobody doing that.
Yeah. I mean,
ain't nobody risking their golf career.
Clearly felt it was okay, dude, like right off the rip.
Do you think he asked anybody?
No, I mean, maybe, but he said he wasn't embarrassed by it at all. So it's like, I mean, that tells us a lot about the kid, right? But like he's just ready to roll. And the thing, like, I can't believe that he would just do that. Right. Like he had to have seen it done before or heard of it done before, or it just had to be a super, super emergency. And that's the only place he could go.
That's where I'm at.
Here's the full quote post round. He said, "I'm like, I really need to pee. Didn't really know where to go. And since JT had an issue on the green, I'm like, I'm just going to sneak here in the river and probably people would not see me that much. And then they clapped for me."
They probably clapped for him because they knew it was the last time they were going to see him at Augusta.
I feel like we would have heard about it. I mean, I don't think it's a big issue, to be honest with you. I think it just kind of, like, this would have flown under the radar in most situations, I think. It came to light because of the reporters who brought it to light. That's kind of what happened here, which was surprising to me because I kind of thought sometimes things like that are just kind of like, let it go. Like, don't cause any sort of situation with that. But big articles were written last night, that's for sure. Bob Herrick wrote an article that had like 800,000 impressions on it. So
that's why he wrote it.
People have found out about that situation for sure.
He's fine. He's not going to get banned or anything. But
you really don't think so?
No.
I could see it.
Especially if he earns his way in every year. Like, they're not going to tell him, hey, you can't come because of that one time you did that one thing when you were 20 years old.
I mean, it's not like Ray's Creek is a source of drinking water for somebody.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We ran a quick poll, like just a very quick, unofficial, unscientific poll. Should Jose be disqualified from the Masters? 59% said no. 41% said yes, give him the boot.
What?
That's a high 41% of people who aren't any fun.
Yeah. If you've had more than four beers on the first nine, you're going in the woods or something.
Yeah. I mean,
Ray's Creek, apparently.
Let's go.
This guy's an amateur. I think he ended up missing the cut, I believe, right, Jose Luis? He missed the cut.
Yeah. But they were also complaining yesterday about his you saw his hat with the text upside down, like our goat hat that you guys got.
Yeah.
Like it just said Sun Devils upside down. And they were like, I can't believe this guy's wearing something like this on these hollowed grounds. Like, how could you do something like come on, man?
No.
Yeah.
Come on. Anyways. The old people are the problem. Sorry, Tim. No offense.
No offense taken.
Speaking of old people.
We could all use a stiff flex shaft in the bedroom. And Blue Chew can help. Have better sex with Blue Chew. Blue Chew is the original brand offering chewable tablets for better sex. And starting now, Blue Chew is offering a combo so strong, it'll knock your socks off and your neighbor's socks off. You'll have to move towns with the amount of noise you'll be making. Blue Chew Max has arrived and it combines the active ingredients of Viagra and Cialis into one chewable. This combo acts fast and lasts. Great sex is just a few clicks away. Sign up today at bluechew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. Blue Chew tablets are made in the USA, prepared and shipped directly to your door. The best part, it's all done online. That means no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Make life easier by getting harder and discover your options at bluechew.com. And we've got a special deal for our listeners today. Try your first month of Blue Chew free when you use promo code NUCLEAR. Just pay $5 shipping. That's promo code NUCLEAR, NUCLR. Visit bluechew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. Huge thanks to Blue Chew for that. Fellas, we got to talk a little bit too about the old guys that we thought were going to make the cut. We had Fred Couples, who essentially turned back the clock yesterday. He shot one under par 71, I think it was. And then today he was kind of lurking around for a while and it seemed like he was maybe going to make it. Ended up missing the cut, and so did Bernhard Langer. Bernhard Langer was out there, you know, playing pretty well. He needed to make a par on 18 today, but he ended up, I think he flubbed his chip and then he missed like a 10 footer for par. So Bernhard Langer,
he tried to bump one into the hill and it just kind of stuck a little more, and then it left him with a little too long of a putt and he made a bogey. Yeah. But they still gave him like a super cool send off with his family and his grandkids and maybe his great grandkids. I don't know. That kid looked pretty young. He's kind of old. So they gave him like a super cool send off, though. That was nice.
Yeah. Bernhard, 67 years old. He had announced that this would be his final Masters.
Tim's like, I remember that age.
67 years ago.
It's pretty cool, though, to see a guy playing like that, like thinking that he could make the cut at age 67. Like, it's pretty wild. And then
and he should have.
And he really should have easily. He could have easily made it.
You know, it's funny about it, though. Like, the other night when we were talking about it, Tim was talking about how he was going to be hitting hybrids and all these greens and stuff on 18. That's exactly what he
did. So what Fred Couples made eagle with yesterday was a 6-wood.
Well, so Fred, I'm sure you've seen that video from a couple of months back where Fred's replaced a lot of his irons with hybrids.
Yeah.
Like, he's got like a 6 hybrid. I don't think he goes to 7, but I know he's got a 6 hybrid. So like, you see all that and he's just like, yeah, it's just easier. Get it higher up in the air. It's easier for me to hit. So he's got no shame in his game at all.
No.
But he did. He had a Bernhard hit a hybrid into the last and just kind of tugged it a little left and then tried to bump one into the hill. It just kind of hung, had 10, 12, maybe 15 feet for par and just slid by. And that was, he'd have made the cut on the number otherwise.
Mm. Yeah, he'd have hit his wedge shot 10 feet further on 15.
Yeah.
Spun back in the water. He was playing good. He was 2 under for the day at that. God, he's 67. He was 2 under after 14. I mean, Jesus.
That's, I mean, crazy. He had a nice send off on 18, and Fred Ridley was on the green there on 18 to congratulate him on his career at the Masters. But I mean, he's not the only older guy. Fred Couples, like we said, 65 years old as well. You know, you just never know what you're going to get with Freddie, right? Some days the back's acting up, and some days it isn't. I think a lot of his play is kind of dependent on how he's feeling, like pretty expected at that age. But incredible round of 1 under par 71 yesterday. And then today didn't do as well. He shot, what did he shoot today? He shot 77. Yeah, 77 today. So he didn't really have much of a chance at making it. But that eagle two yesterday, he holed out from 200 or 191 yards yesterday on the 14th hole with a hybrid.
Was it a six wood?
Six hybrid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Such a normal shot for those guys, though.
Crazy.
He says that they can hit them so high, they feel like they have a chance of stopping the ball. Whereas,
have you ever swung one of those hybrids, like the Adams? Do you remember the when Adams came out with those hybrid irons? My dad played them for a couple of years, and yeah, it's like, I mean, it's almost unfair. You can loft anything at any degree you want, and I mean, those guys are, you know, their swing speed goes down. They got to have something to try and compete. So, I love Fred Couples.
Freddie's a beauty. Yesterday, he had that moment there with the gallery on. Was it after the hole up? Or was it after a birdie? He just went over to the rope line and just started mixing it up with a guy in the gallery like it was his brother. Unreal. I mean, you don't see that from a lot of guys, right? He's like got that nonchalant, chill factor to him. He's just a unique guy. He's been around for a long time and it's awesome.
That's why he can do stuff like speak his mind or say things that he probably shouldn't say and nobody seems to care.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's just like, oh, well, whatever. He's still cool.
Yeah. Other notable missed cuts as well. Cam Smith missed the cut. Yeah. He shot 6 over today. Brooks Koepka shot 75 today and missed the cut.
Phil he made shot, an 8 on 18 to miss the cut.
He made an 8 on 18. Yeah. That was his tournament right there.
Yeah, well, he made a bogey on 17 too, so he was 5 over on the last two holes. What do you end up at?
He
plus 5, wasn't it? Total.
Yeah, 75 today and I think plus 5 for the week.
So he was fine until he was 5 over on those last two holes.
And that one's probably the most shocking. I would say Brooks missing the cut is probably the most shocking out of anybody. He's trying to talk like he's still in the mix of top 10 players in the world. And for all rights, I think he could be, but his play just isn't there. And, you know, there's going to start being correlations made to these LIV guys not performing well. Because they're not playing. Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, like, you expect Brooks to make cuts at the majors. I mean, plain and simple. And he's the biggest name outside of Bryson that I think of that not on the PGA Tour. He's got to make the cut. And I want to see him play on the weekend. I'm a fan of Brooks. I like him, but shocker there.
That's not the only guy there. Phil shot 2 over today, finished the tournament plus 5. He didn't make the cut either. Coming off a pretty strong finish there at Doral. Sergio Garcia was out there dressed like a hot dog yesterday.
Ronald McDonald, you mean?
One or the other. But, I mean, it looked like ketchup and mustard to me. He finished the tournament 4 over, I believe, and missed the cut by a couple strokes.
Done.
DJ has been, I mean, according to Paulina Gretzky's Instagram stories, there's been a lot of partying going on. I mean, outside of tournament weeks, DJ missed the cut this week, one shot below the cut line. So,
and Rahm makes it on the cut line.
Rahm makes it
on the cut line.
He was a frustrated guy out there.
Yeah.
He nearly snapped his club yesterday. There's just moments where he looks really flustered out there and just doesn't seem all at ease and comfortable. It's kind of hard to describe. Just looks a little bit miserable sometimes, especially when he went 8 shots back of the lead pretty early on in the first round at one point there on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And I think we've seen kind of how Tiger responds when he's 8 or 9 back on day one. It's not a happy feeling for these guys, right? They're coming into the tournament with the goal of winning. And then, middle of your round, you're 8 or 9 back, and it just probably feels like too big of a mountain to climb at that point. So it's tough. I mean, you want to see all these guys up at the top of the board, right? We want LIV guys to be up there. We want the best LIV guys and the best PGA Tour guys going at it. And luckily, we have the Bryson, Rory, Scheffler, Rose. You know, we have that dynamic this weekend. So we do have a LIV guy there at the top. Which is good.
We have Hatton there too.
Hatton too. Yeah.
If he didn't miss that 6-incher on 17 or 16 or what was it? 17.
17. It was 17. I was more impressed that he made the 5-footer coming back.
So was I. I was like, holy moly, what just happened?
Well, that wasn't the only guy actually that missed a short putt there today. Cameron Young.
He missed 2.
Oh no!
3 putted from a foot. Like he 4 putted the hole. I believe.
Oh no!
Yeah, started out with what, like a 12-footer, Tim, and then he was within a foot.
And then he just went up, knocked it by, and then knocked it by again.
He had to have missed like 2 putts that were both inside 2 feet.
Yeah,
or a foot.
We're getting into like Ernie range or like
Ernie range.
Oh my god.
Yeah. I was about to say the same thing, Hutch.
The first one
was probably like that far, and then the second one was probably a little further. And the same thing with Hatton; he had to make like a 4.5 footer, not the 5 putt.
Hatton is the one guy that will snap a club too.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like
he gets so mad.
Rahm and Hatton both can show their tempers at various points, and I mean, they've also both acknowledged that they have a temper and have tried to kind of rectify it here in the months that have gone on. But I mean, it comes out at different points, right? Especially when they're playing bad. Nick Dunlap shot 90 on Thursday. 90. That's a score that I would, at Augusta, I'd shoot a lot higher than 90. But I'd typically shoot like high 80s, low 90s.
Did you see the article on him hitting balls at his Airbnb?
Yeah, I have the quote here. He said, "I hit a couple buckets of balls at my Airbnb into the woods last night. I had more of a knot in my stomach today than I've ever had starting a round of golf." He responded today with a 71. So, I mean, he ends up missing the cut, obviously, right? 17 yeah. over par. But I mean, what a comeback from yesterday.
And he said,
I just saw the Cam Young video. Oh my God. Oh
my God. Yeah. The Dunlap, he said most guys probably would have just dubbed it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. They just, and so I agree. We got some viewers that are commenting, like, credit to Dunlap for not withdrawing after that 90, but I'm happy to see he shot a 71, because 90 for a pro, that might be the highest I've heard of in a tournament.
Ian Baker Finch once shot 91 at the British Open. I remember.
But he had the yips, didn't he? And shanks or something. That's what ended his career for the most part, right?
Yeah, but he was not playing that bad yet when he shot the 91. I also think wind was a factor that day, obviously. But
listen, yesterday we were in a group chat with some of my buddies that we go on a golf trip with, and literally I just said it as a joke. Like, I always, when we have these big tournaments, I always go and look at who's in last. And I saw him and he had just finished 17, and I sent him a text. I'm like, dude, this guy's flirting with 90. Not thinking there was a chance that he was actually going to. Lo and behold, the dude made a double on 18, shot 90. It was wild, but he did. They, like you said, the 71. They said it's the second biggest turnaround from one round to another in the history of the tournament.
When they interviewed him, or when whoever talked to him yesterday after he shot 90, he said it was the worst feeling in the world. He said he had no idea which way he was going to miss his driver. He said it could have been
right. Wait, he did press?
I think it was just a side interview where somebody was taking notes.
I was going to make a Rory joke since he didn't do press yesterday, but.
And then he doesn't get the same treatment as Xander. No, not Xander. Morikawa. Didn't Morikawa skip the presser a month ago?
Yeah, but the Morikawa thing, the problem with him was he, not only did he skip it, he then told them, I don't know you guys anything.
Yeah.
If he hasn't said that, then it probably would have been cool.
Fellas.
But did Rory do a presser today?
Of course, I got to check. He shot 66. Yeah, he shot 66. he skipped the media yesterday. But fellas, we have pairings coming in here.
So
we got the final group, Bryson and Rose, off at 2:40 p.m. Penultimate group is Corey Connors and Rory at 2:30, and McCarty and Lowry at 2:20. We got Scheffler and Hatton at 2:10, and then Højgaard and Hovland at 2:00. Those are the final five pairings.
Scheffler and Hatton. You couldn't have two more diverse personalities on the course.
Scotty might learn a thing or two tomorrow.
That's going to be fire right there.
Hovland's a sneaky one. Victor could play well.
Dude, he was at 6 under at one point today, I thought I saw.
I want to take that back about Scotty learning something tomorrow. I do remember now that he's a fan of Barstool Sports Advisor, so he definitely knows things. Definitely knows things.
Who do you guys think is going to be leading the tournament tomorrow night after the after the third round?
Bryson, Scotty, and Rory tied for the lead.
Rory McIlroy.
I'm taking Bryson. Bryson at 11 under.
Bryson at 11. I think it's going to be Rory leading. I think Rory could be leading after tomorrow.
I'm going to go with a three-way tie. Bryson, Scotty, and Rory all at 10 under heading into Sunday. Scotty and Rory will be in the final.
What's the weather like?
Well, we're actually going to bring in Mike, who is our meteorologist. Hold on here.
He's better than the Weather Channel app. So let's ask him when he gets here.
This guy is a weather legend.
It's going to be a little cooler tomorrow, I think. Supposed to be like in the mid 60s.
Yeah, here he is. Let's ask him.
Hello, guys.
We've got the weatherman himself, Michael Ireland.
Mike, yep, glad to join the pod finally for the first time.
Mike, you can't use big words that Tim won't understand. So,
Yeah, you'll confuse me easily.
Mike, for those who aren't familiar with you, just before we get started, this man works at the National Weather Service. That's correct, right?
Yes. Yes. I work at the National Weather Service office in Albuquerque. That's where I live right now. So National Weather Service is basically it's part of the federal government, and we're basically the people that provide all the weather data across the country. So everything you see from your weather app to any model data, we're mainly the reason behind it. So pretty big deal working for the National Weather Service.
Love no, absolutely.
Mike is National Weather Service. Anytime I need to know anything about how bad storms are going to be where I live, I hit up Mike and he tells me the truth straight up very quickly every time.
I don't even listen to the sirens. I just text Mike.
there you go.
Like Mike, before we get into the weather on the weekend, I just want to talk a little bit about kind of the history of you involved with nuclear and TW Legion, because this goes way back. Like we met years before nuclear ever existed, right? You were doing weather reports and forecasts. You were sending radar. You were doing like live shows, live video for Tigers tournaments every time he was playing. You and some of your student colleagues when you were going to FSU. Just talk a little bit about that and what was your experience like doing those forecasts?
Yeah, so this goes all the way back to 2016. When I was at Florida State, again, big Tiger fan, I was like, okay, I do weather as well. Let me help out the golf community, provide some weather forecasts for the Tiger fans out there, and then eventually for the entire golf community. So at Florida State, we had a studio in the basement that was in the old building, and then eventually they moved it into the new meteorology building right across the sidewalk, basically. And so we had a studio in the basement, and after the show was done and when we had some time, I was like, you know what, let me use the studio and help out, provide some forecasts for Tiger fans, Rory fans, any golf fans out there. And so that's what I did until I graduated in 2020. Then I didn't have the studio, so I couldn't really do much from there, but still try to provide video updates and try to do some tweets and radar updates as well when the weather gets a little nasty out there.
For sure. Yeah, we used to lean on you, Mike, like when there were like weather delays out there, and you always sent your screenshots from the radar showing the lightning strikes and how far they were in the area. You're like, oh, strikes are like 20 miles out. We're going to have a horn soon. I think it was like 20 or 25 miles out, they have to blow it or something like that, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's like I think the criteria is 10 to 15 miles, and then you have to wait 30 minutes after that last lightning strike.
Right. Yeah, that's some cool insight there about, you know, weather delays on the PGA Tour. And, you know, we really appreciate everything that you did for us there, you know, throughout the years at TW Legion.
Mike's a Tiger fan. Fan legend, this guy.
Yep. I'm the OG. I've met this guy. We golfed together when I went to Dallas.
That was like, that was 3 years ago now. Yeah.
Yeah, that was in
2021. So yeah, it's been like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's been like 3.5 years since that.
2021. I've had beers
with
Mike.
Several. How many like core guys are still around, John?
Core guys, like in the group or just in general?
Like, just from, they're still in contact with you from the beginning. Like, start no earlier than me, though, because I want to be at the beginning.
Probably, there's probably a group of, like, I would put it in the 10 to 15 category of, like, regular guys.
Yeah.
The fair weather people fade away when, like, he's out, right? But, like, the core guys.
Multiple years.
Yeah. The core still guys there. Stick together. Mike, let's just chat a little bit about the weather this weekend. It seems like we're going to have, you know, high 60s, low 70s on Saturday and Sunday. Is that kind of what we're looking at?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the weather is going to be, you couldn't ask for any more perfect conditions in early April at Augusta. And the best thing about the weekend is there's not going to be really much wind as well. So yeah, no. It will make it a slightly easier, but with the dry conditions and with Augusta's sub-air system, it's going to bake out and you're going to see some crispy greens come Sunday for sure. With that dry air.
For sure. And is the wind going to play a factor this weekend or not so much?
Not really. There might be some light northwest winds on Saturday of like 5 to 10 miles per hour. That will be in the afternoon. Sunday, the winds are looking really, really light with high pressure overhead. So we're really looking at really mild and calm conditions for Augusta this weekend. Couldn't ask for anything better again.
So we're not looking at a Monday finish, I guess, eh?
Nope, no Monday finish in the
cards. or no 9 a.m. No 9 a.m.
No 9 a.m. Tiger wins the Masters starts. Yeah. We're done 2 o'clock, and then what are you supposed to do with the rest of your day?
Yeah,
I was sleep.
Craziest part about that 2019 Masters was there was the enhanced risk, which was like that's level 3 out of 5. Okay. Somehow the storms missed Augusta. And it hit everywhere else except Augusta. I don't know how that happens. Just the golf gods or Augusta gods just completely avoiding the course. But that's what happened on that Sunday.
It was wild. Yeah, never, the weather never stuff. Came.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike, your insight's been incredible. Thanks so much. But before we let you go, who's your pick for the week here?
Oh, I've been rooting for Rory all week. I feel like this is the year he finally breaks through. I mean, he has 2 wins going into it. If he can just putt and chip well the weekend, just watch out. He has the ball striking. And just putting and chipping, the short game. That's what matters come the stretch down in Augusta on the back nine Sunday.
All right. Well, you guys heard it. You guys heard it from the weatherman himself. Watch out for Rory McIlroy this weekend, according to Mike. So, Mike, it's been awesome having you on. How can people find you on X for your updates?
Yep. So on X, you can find me at let me see. What was my handle again? I completely forget.
He's got nuclear all over his profile.
Yep. So there you go. Yeah. So you can follow me at Nuclear Golf WX. I'll provide weather updates there when I'm not on night shifts or random evening shifts or day shifts like that. Yeah. But yeah, that's where I'll be posting updates. And I'm also on Instagram as well. My Instagram handle is my first name, my last name, michael.onan01. So you can find me there as well.
Okay. Awesome, man, Mike. Mike, you're the man. Thanks so much
for coming on. You are the man.
Hope thank you, Mike.
No problem. We got to be
FSU
here.
FSU never belonged in the playoff, Mike.
And if we have, I don't want to embarrass Mike, but if there's any female listeners out there, Mike is on the market. So send him a DM.
Yes, he is. Hit him up. Yeah. That boy's the man. Hit him.
He's
up.
Got blue chew in his pocket.
All right. Yeah.
The DMs are going to be blowing up now.
Mike,
thanks for letting me join, guys.
No problem. Enjoy the Masters. We'll chat soon.
Thank you.
See ya. And there he goes. Michael Anon, the legend, the weatherman.
Yeah, you know he's from like 20 minutes from where I'm from, right?
Yeah.
Didn't have a clue. I think his parents still live there, but he's like 20 minutes down the road from me.
They do. They still live there. And he goes back home, obviously, here and there when he's not working or whatever.
He's able.
But yeah, no, great guy and awesome to have him on, share some insight about the weather and even talk about his past. He's been involved with Nuclear and TW Legion for many, many years and super grateful for Mike's support. Interesting quote, Jack Nicklaus talking about Phil Mickelson, kind of asked about, you know, what's more surprising, like Tiger or Phil, you know. Essentially, his quote was, well, you know, I don't know what level Phil is competing at. I guess he's still playing. He's playing the LIV Tour. Is he? Like he asked it like a question. And then he said, I don't know if he's playing or not. He said, I don't know. You never see that anymore. So, I mean, I don't know. People were saying like he wasn't taking a dig at like Phil necessarily. They said he was more so taking a dig at like live and that like you don't see them like broadcasting wise.
Yeah.
What'd you guys think of that? I thought it was kind of interesting.
Thought it was Jack carrying the PGA Tour's water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably about right.
He nailed it on the head too, though. Like, I mean, what are those guys actually doing? You know, it's like
making a boatload of money.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of athletes that are doing that, but you know, I just feel they're not in the contention of the everyday conversation, especially Phil. It feels like Phil's trying to hang on to the spotlight a little bit here and there. And his play is never going to be backing that up anymore. I think we've seen the last of Phil in any run. I don't think he'll make another run at anything significant on a PGA Tour level.
Well, I mean, he only plays 4 PGA Tour tournaments a year.
Well,
right? Like, but.
Well, no, he's not qualified for the U.S. Open, is he?
No, he's not, but I'm sure they'll give him an exemption.
Yeah.
Just so we can watch him try for like the 30th year in a row.
How old was he when he didn't he win the PGA?
He was 51.
Is he 51? I mean,
that's incredible, but there's no evidence in his golf game that it's coming together or that it's still there.
Well, you like thought though that it was after last week because he played really well at Doral. That was tough conditions. Like it, he played really well at Doral, and that's why I think people thought that he was not that he was going to win or that he even necessarily had a chance, but that they were expecting a little more than a miscut out of him this week. Especially, yeah. Was it 2 years ago when he got second at the Masters?
That doesn't count. I mean, it was for a weird second.
Year for sure, but
that doesn't count.
You know, we can't sit here and say that Tiger makes the cut at the Masters when he has no game just because he has all this knowledge of the course. When we can say the same thing about Phil.
No, you cannot.
I mean, the same exact. You can realistically.
No, we will never talk about Tiger and Phil the same. We will not do that. Do not let people do that. That's a shame. We can talk about
Tiger. I'm not saying that he's better. I'm not saying that he's more of a legend. I'm just saying that he's got the same local course knowledge of Augusta that Tiger does.
He doesn't have the same game.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm about to say. Tiger has one leg and can barely walk and barely swing, and he never misses the cut there.
Fellas, in 2023, which would have been that's when Phil had already gone to live, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he would have already been at live.
He was already there.
Yeah, he finished T2 in the Masters. You guys remember?
But he also shot. He also jumped like 31 spots on Sunday or something crazy.
Yeah,
I mean, it wasn't like he wasn't content, and he didn't really have a real chance to win. I mean, he was basically playing for second on Sunday, and he jumped a lot of spots. Everybody was talking about his tied second that year. I remember that, and I was like, dude, that was the classic Rory, you know, 73, 63. Yeah. Oh, I finished second. Amazing.
He is, you know, having a little bit of a better year, though, this year on Liv. He's been playing well. Yeah, he's got 2 top tens in his 4 starts on Liv this season. He was 3rd in Hong Kong. People thought he was going to get it done there. He didn't. Mm-hmm. He even had a 64 on the final day there in Hong Kong. Still didn't win.
Yep.
And then in Miami, he finished 6th, and he had 2 rounds of 73. I mean, that course played really difficult, the Blue Monster there.
Long, windy, and difficult was that week.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't really have much to go as far as his playing. He was been playing terrible on Liv. Like, I mean, he could really only go up. He shot lots of rounds in the 77s and 79s of first year, second year. So I mean, the bar wasn't that high.
It feels so recreational.
Liv haters in here.
Who is in here hating?
Courtney,
if you, Tim,
okay, both of them.
Boom, let's go.
If you guys look down here, look at his major finishes. He was T43 at the Masters in 2024, missed the cut at the PGA and the US Open, and then he was T60 at the Open Championship. I mean, so, you know,
it
and
just
then
seems like, it just seems like to me, other than Bryson, the LIV guys are erratic in the majors now. Like, they play well and then they play terrible. Like, Bryson's the only one that seems to be consistent, in my opinion. And it just looks that way. And you hear all this buildup to the, Joaquin Niemann, he's going to contend. Well, he's two over. Rahm's two over. DJ misses the cut. Like, these Brooks is 75, misses the cut. Out of the 12 guys, there's only two guys that are in contention, to be fair, Bryson and Hatton. And Bryson, to me, is the only one that he's growing the game. He's doing everything. He's everywhere. He practices all the time. He wants to win. It feels to me like he still wants a legacy. And the other guys are just kind of like, eh, I got paid.
Yeah, I feel like they sold their soul. They have no
joy. I don't think you can say that about Brooks.
No.
I don't think you can say that about Brooks.
He seems pretty unhappy.
Did you guys see Patrick Reed, another LIV guy, made some comments yesterday after he fired a 1-under par 71. I don't have the exact quotes in front of me, but he basically said, like, he was – I mean, 1-under is not a bad round, right? And I mean,
not at all.
Just going on about his putting, like how bad it was. Like, his attitude in the post-round was not great. Like, he said the putter was terrible. He said, like, the putter's on vacation and it needs to get to Augusta or something along the lines of that. Not sure what Reed actually shot today. But Billy Horschel missed the cut at the Masters. He said, sucks to miss the cut at the Masters. Score doesn't indicate how solid I played over 36 holes. Just didn't score very well. 5-3 putts and played the par fives in 1-over. Putter was cold this week again. One of the positive takeaways from this week is mentally, this is the best Masters I've ever had. And then he ended his post. Thank you for all the Go Gators and Gator Chomps this past week. Loved it. Billy Horschel.
I love Billy.
After missing the cut.
Reed shot 2-under today. Yeah,
I was about to say, he's 3-under for the tournament.
Yeah, I guess he's in contention too, so.
Yeah, he's up there. I mean.
He's up there, yeah.
Mm, how about that? LIV guy playing well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, 3 out of 12. 25%. Ooh, that's incredible. Man, we should get 50 of those guys in there.
He's adjusting the bunkers with all his wedges.
Yeah.
Actually,
there's no rough at Augusta, so he doesn't have to fluff the ball.
I can't defend Patrick Reed, but I will defend the other LIV guys till my dying breath.
What are you defending?
I like LIV. I'm a LIV guy. You know what it is?
You like about it?
I like chaos. That's what I like. And there is chaos in the golf world. Well, there was. Now it's just kind of getting annoying. But at the beginning, it was just straight chaos.
I've always liked the chaos. I mean, we've embraced the chaos reporting on both ends of it. We got some quotes coming in from Rory McIlroy because he did indeed speak with the media today after blowing them off yesterday. He was asked about his situation on 15. Here's some new quotes that I haven't seen until right now. Yeah, you know, I hit two good shots into 15 yesterday, and I felt like I hit a pretty good chip shot. I was really surprised at not so much the speed. I knew it was a fast chip. I've had that chip 100 times around this golf course. It was just more the first bounce was so firm. I mean, that green is so much firmer than any other green, even the three newer greens. And, like, at that point, I didn't know that, you know, a couple of people had done that before I did it as well. Yeah, and then I actually, you know, I was obviously surprised that I had done that, and I forgot that I could try to play it again. I went straight to the drop zone, and then afterwards I was thinking, like, oh, I could have tried to just chip that again. But I was, you know, it was just one of those things where I think that's the thing. I was so frustrated last night because I played so well, and you can make these big numbers from absolutely nowhere on this golf course, just like the most benign position. And then he was talking about today. It was nice to make a four there. I guess just keep the momentum going that I had built up through those previous holes, 10, 11, 13. So Rory McIlroy reacted today to his situation on 15 yesterday that began the unraveling of his round. He was 4 under at that point and then went back to even par yesterday to finish the night. And then today, as we talked about at the beginning of today's show, responded with a 6 under 66. Mm-hmm. Rory's right up there. Do you guys expect that Rory's going to just keep the pedal to the gas this weekend and stay up in that top three? Is he going to take command of the tournament and be leading after tomorrow? What do you think?
Yeah, Hutch
is going to win.
Flashing some signs around here.
Wasn't he from California?
That's a Jameis Winston W. He's going to win.
Famous Jameis.
Rory's playing great right now. This is it's huge. So like the big thing, and this is why I want him to be leading after tomorrow, because it would be, if he is able to go on and win, it would be like the biggest storybook thing for him to overcome what happened in, was it 2011?
Yeah, I think so.
Blew it, like for him to overcome having that lead and blowing it. Now he comes back, has another lead, because you know if he has a lead tomorrow night, the narrative until he tees off on Sunday is going to be, oh, here we go again. This is what's going to happen again. And what is he going to be able to hold on this time, or is he going to choke, or this, that, or the other? For him to overcome that would be just massive, and it would be great storyline for it. Now I hope along the way, like we've got serious challenges from DeChambeau, from Scheffler, maybe even Justin Rose, but like again, the big guys that we're talking about, just make it an epic Masters. They need it to be an epic Masters, especially with no, as bad as it is, with no Tiger. Not saying he would be contending, but just the hype is so much more when he's there.
It truly is an epic Masters, like shaping up. Like if you really look at the board, like it's an international.
Telling you,
we got. I mean, Justin Rose, DeChambeau, McIlroy, Corey Connors, Canadian. Scheffler, Lowry from Ireland, Hatton, McCarty, Jason Day, Australia, Hovland, Norway, Højgaard, Morikawa, Matsuyama. Like this is all top 15. Ludwig is up there, T12, like just 5 shots back. Sungjae Im is from Korea. And then Xander. Yeah. Like we've got, I mean, that board is just littered with big names. There's the potential for some fireworks. Like there's a lot of guys at 3, 4, and 5 under, and if they have a round tomorrow, it's going to be a wild finish.
It'd be a shock at this point if it's not a great weekend.
I don't see
a way that it could shake
especially
out,
especially with
it's not a great weekend,
especially with the weather
and the still conditions are going to be ideal scoring conditions as much as they're ideal at Augusta. I mean, it's tough greens. You got to putt. I do think that Rory and the guys that are in the top 10, I don't see any of them faltering, so to speak. I think whoever wins this is going to legitimately have to win the tournament. Whoever wins is going to have to beat Rory. He's going to be there. He's going to hit great shots. He's going to make some birdies. Rory's – go ahead.
I was just going to say it'll have to be like a Charles Schwartzel finish where they birdied, you know, 15, 16, 17, and 18 to beat one of these guys in the top 10. I think. That's what I think.
Well, yeah,
I agree. Here's some data. So Data Golf, which has a model of, you know, they put all these numbers together and crunch probabilities and whatnot. Highest odds of winning the tournament, 18.7%, they say, is the chance that McIlroy has to win. Next best chance is DeChambeau at 16.2%. And then they've got Rose at 11.3%. And they have Scheffler at 14.8%. Hatton and Lowry are both 4.5% and 5%. And then they've got Corey Connors actually with an 8% chance of winning the tournament. I mean, this is just based on a number of things solid that they calculate. Yeah. So it's going to be a good finish. Like if that's pretty divided up there with the odds. So it's not like they've got a guy at like 80% chance of winning right now. Obviously so much can happen. No. There's still 36 holes to play. There's so much golf. There's going to be drama all weekend long.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
That was a big day.
It's going to,
somebody could separate themselves tomorrow and we could be having a totally different conversation, or we could still have a, like Tim said, a tie at the top or a one shot lead here or there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to be glued tomorrow.
I'll be interested to see on Sunday if it is as close as we think it is, and there's six guys in the hunt. I just remember, I always go back to 2019 when Tiger was in the hunt, and guy after guy after guy went in the water on 12. And Tiger is so disciplined. He's like, he just basically followed Jack. Like, he was like, hit the middle of the green, go in between the two bunkers. It doesn't matter if the pin's on the left or the right, but these guys go at the pin, and it's like, have you not watched a Masters before? Like, you're playing
I'm
in
sure
it.
I'm sure they know it. They just get caught up in the moment. They're like,
that was the Tiger. Different. That was the Tiger intimidation.
Dude, four guys went in the water that day on 12. And
People have talked about that before. Like, those guys going into the water, people have talked about how when you're playing with Tiger, the crowds are different and the feel is different, and there's so many more eyes on you, and you get overwhelmed at times. And people also talk about the wind above the trees at Augusta and stuff like that. And I'm with you, Tim, that we very well could see some chaos like we saw with Tiger's finish.
Yeah. I'm just curious.
We got a comment coming in from Nuclear co-owner Brent, and he believes that Victor Hovland is going to sneak up over the weekend. He's currently T9, four under par. He's four shots back right now.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a guy to watch. He shot, what did he shoot today? He shot
three under.
Yeah, three under par. I mean, he's playing well. He had a four straight birdie stretch today as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just recently turned it on, right? Like, he just won a few weeks ago. He wasn't expecting to win.
He's been playing pretty 17 poorly. And 18.
He bogeyed 17 and 18 today.
Yes.
Yeah, because I thought he was six under after 16 at one point. I was like, dang, he's like two back.
He bogeyed 17 and 18 to finish his round today, so that hurts.
Yeah, did you guys see
66 tomorrow?
Did you guys see Max Homa? First
hit the caddy.
Well, that wasn't a caddy. That was a marshal.
Whatever it was, he was holding the pin. I was not a pin.
Yeah, that was a marshal. He made his first cut in a full field event today since July 2024 at the Open. Max has been on the struggle bus for a little bit here.
Yep.
You know, he was playing the no cut events. I mean, he missed the cut at a bunch of tournaments early this season. The last weekend that Max Homa has seen was the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am back at the end of January, early February, I think it was.
I thought you were saying that he's been so bad he was missing the cut at no cut events.
I was like, she might like, as well.
John just got serious on him right now.
Like, they're like, Max, we know this is a no-cut event, but just don't come tomorrow or Sunday. We're good.
This is super good for him, though. Like, he finally – it's like he found something.
It's sure.
It's very nice to see. You see this a lot, though. Like, he had been struggling, obviously, at the end of the year last year, but then you see it a lot with guys when they change equipment. Sometimes it takes a little while. I remember when – like Rory switched to Nike, everybody was, he went like, I think half the season without winning, and people were freaking out like, oh, he can't do it, new equipment, blah, blah, blah. He sees a lot. Homa in particular is generally such a big internet personality that people are paying more attention to him. I know recently he's kind of stepped back to focus on the golf a little bit, but it's nice to see him making a little money on the weekend for the first time, even if it's like 20 grand or something like that. Like, I'm sure it's more at Augusta, but even if he made like 20 grand, like he made the weekend, he could go buy himself like a Polaris Ranger or something like that. Like, what do you, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That bank account was drying up. I mean, he got his new sponsorships and stuff, but not a whole lot of money coming in there the last little while on the course, at least.
This is why, like, This is why maybe some people don't like Liv, and it's because Homa is grinding.
Don't do
400 balls. Don't do this. I'm just telling you, Hutch. You can disagree with me. Bryson hit more balls.
He did, and he's on.
He's the only one. He's Vijay Singh. Bryson is Vijay Singh. No one's going to hit more balls than Bryson, other than Vijay Singh.
Bryson is not as dark as Vijay Singh.
Hutch is.
He looks nothing like him.
Homa was the last one on the practice range, other than Bryson. This whole for the first few days this week, so it's not a shock.
Tim
doesn't have a $400 million check. He didn't get one.
He doesn't care, right? It's because they.
Tim is your grandpa, and you're sitting next to the table.
He's the guy yelling when the NBA started wearing baggy shorts.
I'm the voice of reason. I'm the voice of reason when the young whippersnappers are trying to make a point, and it's like, dude, these guys already got $400 million in their checking account, and some guys got to work for it. Hey.
All right, Tim. Can you believe these guys are using
drivers made out of metal instead of wood? Who needs this stuff?
Okay. I'm going to pivot.
You cheat the game. You play music when you play golf. That's ridiculous.
Exactly.
Fellas, listen to these stats from Joe Pompliano. He's a sports business guy. You've probably seen him on X. He tweets out like some pretty viral stuff. This is just Masters merchandise revenue. So the Masters will do about $70 million in merchandise sales this week alone. That's $10 million a day, $1 million an hour, $16,000 a minute, $277 every second. The largest unconfirmed single purchase was $36,000 in 2022. Their merch operation is just insane. Like, I don't know if you guys have seen. I don't know if any of you guys have been to Augusta, but the photos online of their merch, like, it's not even a merch tent. Like, it's a merch building.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's a village is what it is. Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, the lines and stuff are wild. And you're grabbing stuff off the wall. Like, I can't even imagine how much stuff they have, and they're constantly bringing new inventory in.
As somebody who's semi-local to Augusta, like, when people around here go to the Masters, like, they take full-on orders from people. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I'm talking, I got texts from two or three different people this week saying, like, on Sunday, saying, like, hey, I'm going tomorrow, like, what should I get you, can I get you anything, blah blah blah, and they're getting it for 10-15 people. Like, and that's how people come home with these giant hauls and stuff. So it's wild. It is wild, the things people do for this stuff.
I thought.
And of course, Monday got rained out, so the stuff I wanted, I didn't get.
Yeah. It's all next year. They got, like, multiple buildings, I think, at Augusta National. Just
for sure.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, Augusta National, in a way, it's like, I mean, they move people around like they do at, like, Disney World. Like, there's so many people. Like, Disney World's, like, the masters of moving people in and out, right? It's just, that's what they, that's kind of how they manage and operate their business. Like, you need to be masters at logistics and moving people, and, you know, everything needs to be pretty orderly there. I imagine, like, security's insane at Augusta too.
Yeah.
That many people on the grounds. I mean, such a sacred place. Like, just the patrons in the gallery do respect the rules at Augusta National. I mean, more than any other venue, and rightfully so. I think people understand that they're, you know, on such a historic place with so much history. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of why you see the fans behave in the ways they do, right? You don't see a lot of riffraff out at Augusta.
I was trying to find this tweet. I thought it was from Claire Rogers, but she I thought it was her that was in line, and she asked one of the people there, hey, what's the biggest purchase so far today? And they said 12,600, and she laughed because it was 9 a.m.
Yeah.
They don't want it open for an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw that.
I was like, oh my God.
Wild times.
That shit's nuts. But they also say, I've also heard that the actual on site, it's like cheaper than a lot. It's kind of like if you're there, it's a lot less than it is when you're trying to buy it off MMO.com or, you know, wherever else. And so, I mean, it's just crazy every year when I see you could buy everything on the menu for $77. That's insane. Yeah. Like, it just is. You don't see that anywhere.
No, nowhere. I mean, at the women's event, I think it was like $44 or something.
God,
like, it was even cheaper. Like, anyways, the Masters is insane. Just no tournament like it.
Looking and like when you were
all weekend. Yeah.
Like when you were talking about the respect thing and how it's different and the patrons are different there, I paid attention today and yesterday. And if you do listen, they clap for everyone, regardless of whether you hit a bad shot or not. They clap. It's insane. Like when you're coming up, you miss the green by 30 yards, they're clapping for the whole group because they're just appreciative for them. That doesn't happen at the US Open in New York or the British Open in Ireland or anywhere, or the PGA anywhere. They're, if you're blowing a shot 30 yards right, they're laughing at you and going, rah!
Oh, yeah. No, it's crazy. So, I mean, we're all going to be watching on Saturday and Sunday. And, you know, we're so grateful for everyone for your support and watching along with us on these shows. It's a lot of fun for us to get together and just talk the shit about golf. And I mean, Sunday is such an amazing day. So amazing that we're all going to get on here Sunday afternoon on the back nine. We're going to have a live stream, live show. You know, we'll be broadcasting on X. We're also live on YouTube. After our show, it's available to listen to on all your favorite podcast platforms. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, as well as Amazon Music. I mean, live on X is great because you guys can see us in real time. But if you're not watching live, it's no worries. You can watch us after the fact on all those platforms. Looking forward to it, fellas. We'll be back online. We'll announce it on X what time exactly that we're going to be live. We're going to try and time it with the last kind of like, I mean, it's going to be on the back nine, obviously, the last six, seven, eight holes, I think. But yeah, looking forward to it. I hope you guys enjoy the coverage tomorrow. And we'll see you guys back here on Sunday. Huge thank you to Blue Chew for sponsoring today's episode.
The biggest thank you.
Biggest thank you. And
the most firm thank you possible.
We'll see you guys on Sunday and enjoy the golf tomorrow.